A reading from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. As they, that's the disciples, were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marvelling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is a troubling time for the disciples. They have witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus, and the Romans are good at crucifixion, and nobody survives a Roman crucifixion. It is a brutal way to die, and die Jesus had. And so the disciples are gathered together, wondering and processing what to make of all this. And then this business of the two on the way to Emmaus, where Jesus appears to them, and as he breaks bread with them, their eyes are open, they realise, and their hearts burn because of what Jesus has said to them and how he's described himself in terms of the Old Testament. And so here the disciples are together processing, talking about these things, as it says, when Jesus himself stood among them and, unsurprisingly, said, "Peace to you." Well, peace is what they needed, and certainly as Jesus appears to them, because they simply think they're seeing some sort of ghost, a spirit. Now, I know that there are those who will say, "Well, the resurrection never took place. It was just some sort of wish fulfillment on the part of the apostles. They just thought he'd appeared because they really wanted it to be true." But no, they were fearful. They were not expecting some sort of ghostly appearance. They thought Jesus dead. This was no wish fulfillment. But Jesus wasn't. He was there in front of them. And they were startled, and they were doubtful, and they were troubled. And so to reassure them, Jesus shows them his stained, blood-stained and holed hands and his feet. "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And they didn't know what to make of this. What a wonderful phrase Luke conjures. While they still disbelieved for joy and were marvelling. They were processing. They didn't believe it, but they were joyful. And what to make of this, and to really emphasise to them that he really was here. He did the most mundane of things. He had something to eat. He ate some fish. And they could see that this really was a real man. The real Jesus stood in front of them. And then he wanted to explain to them that really they should have known this all along. And well, of course, hindsight's an easy thing. But he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Jesus zoomed them out, if you like, from their wondering and their disbelieving and their shock. He put this resurrection of his in the context of the entire scriptural history, the great arc of salvation history beginning at Genesis. He showed to them that the prophets, the Old Testament, said that this must happen. He opened their eyes to all of this. And then the penny dropped. And then he made sure they knew that the resurrection is not the end of the story, for they have been witnesses of all of this, but they are to go out and bear witness to all that they have seen. He said, the repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And so it is that this resurrection is not simply some sort of resuscitation. Is it not simply some event to marvel at and to move on from? But rather the resurrection itself is a challenge to you to say, will you repent of your sins for forgiveness of sins? Will you look for that forgiveness to be in his name, in the name of Jesus? Not that you're good enough so that the good on the scales has outweighed the bad on the scales. Not that you can make up for the things that you do wrong, that we all do wrong. But rather you rely on Christ, on Jesus, on his death and his resurrection for that forgiveness of sins in his name. And this is for all nations, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. So it is that when we look at this passage, we should marvel with the disciples not only that Jesus was truly risen, not only that he proved this by eating before them, but also to see the implications of this. The whole Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ. Here now is the way back to God. Here now is the path of forgiveness of sins. It's in his name. It's for everyone, everywhere, for all nations. This is the challenge of the resurrection. Will you come to Christ, repent of your sins in his name, and be reconciled to God?